What is a podcast? A question that has been increasing in frequency for, I would say, the last 5 to 7 years. Pete Davidson has a new show on Netflix that they're calling a podcast, despite the fact that it's only on Netflix and that there is no audio version of it. Some would say that the core of a podcast is that at the very least, you could consume it via audio only. On YouTube, if you have YouTube Premium, you can turn your device screen off and still listen to the audio. This is, as far as I know, at least not the case with Netflix. You need to have your device on for Netflix to keep playing. But this isn't the first time, nor will it be the last, that people ask, what is a podcast? Some people, many people, have told me that if it's video, it's not a podcast. I think we're getting away from that idea, though. More people have told me that it's not a podcast if it doesn't have an RSS feed. But if you have a podcast only on Spotify, where people can listen only on Spotify, but they can listen to audio only, I would say that's just a poorly distributed podcast. If we look at the word podcast, which is a portmanteau of iPod and broadcast, linguists can argue that if it's not on an iPod, it's not a podcast. But I'm not really here to have this debate. I think this is a tired debate. I think if you want to make content, you should make content where you want to. But the line is blurring between what is a podcast and what is a YouTube video. What's the difference between the two? It's certainly not length. I think we're seeing an increase in the number of short podcast episodes that are really focused. It's not about video. Lots of podcasts also publish video. No, I actually think it's a lot simpler than that. When I was in Italy in 2016, the Euro Cup was happening. And I was gobsmacked that as we traveled down the country, first starting in Venice, ending in Sorrento, that when there was a game on, there were people gathered everywhere. There were people in Sorrento in the streets, in lawn chairs, all watching the game together. It was an incredible communal experience, but it wasn't a fully gathered mass all in the same place. There were people at the stadium. There were people watching at home. There were people watching in the streets. There were people watching in other countries. Now compare that to something like a college football game or a high school football game. A Broadway show maybe is an even better example, where the majority of the people consuming that content are all together in the same place where they can react and interact together. This is how I view podcasts versus a YouTube video. Podcasts, and the thing that makes podcasts great, is that they are open. They are on an RSS feed. They are distributed in multiple apps. But that makes engagement in a single town hall or town square, we'll say, really difficult. There are people who are going to consume an Apple podcast, some in Spotify, some in Pocket Casts or Overcast. Maybe you're just listening to this on the website. Maybe you've downloaded the audio and you are listening to it somewhere else. Maybe you are listening to it on YouTube. But unless I, as the host, get to some critical mass where I can point people to a single place to interact, it's going to be hard to get that engagement. And I don't want to get too technical here, but I do know that in the podcasting 2.0 spec, there are features that allow for things like live streaming in podcast apps and some sort of engagement. I know there's a proposal for adding comments or donating. And at RSS.com, we support a lot of those features. Full disclosure, I am the RSS.com evangelist. I'm also a podcast host and a podcast coach. And so I've been around the block. But I know that RSS.com and a few other podcast hosts and podcast apps support stuff like that. But not all of them do. And certainly the major ones don't. I mean, Spotify does have comments and polls. Apple Podcasts at this point, at this time in recording, doesn't. And countless other apps definitely don't. So if I want engagement from my audience, I'm going to have to say, go to Spotify or go to YouTube or go to streamlinedpodcaster.com and click on this post and comment, or go to a generic forum. And that's hard. It's a lot harder than what you have on YouTube, which is a comment section right under the video. And so as we think about what is a podcast, what is a YouTube video, or you, dear podcaster, dear solopreneur or small business owner who is listening to this wondering, should I put my podcast on YouTube? I think the answer to that is yes, like you just want your content everywhere. But should you have parity between YouTube and your podcast? I think no. Because if we go back to that soccer example or football example, it's like dressing for American football when you're going to play soccer, or what the rest of the world really calls football. You're wearing pads and a helmet, and it's hard to see and move quickly. And that's just not optimized for how quickly soccer moves. And conversely, if you are dressed for soccer and playing football, you're going to get deeply injured. There is content that is more suitable for this audio-only medium, and more content that is suitable for the YouTube video medium. And I know I've talked about this before, but I've been thinking a lot about the direction of Streamline Solopreneur, my, I guess we'll call it my flagship podcast, and how I want to approach YouTube. And I think I've worked out my next experiment, at least. I want the Streamline Solopreneur to be largely solo episodes. I am wrapping up my last couple of interviews, but I suspect by April of this year, the show is going to switch fully to solo episodes where I'm really focused on solving a specific problem. Those solo episodes are going to provide me content for not just the show, but articles and newsletters, right? Or it could be the other way around. Usually I write my newsletter and then I record the podcast episode. Neither here nor there. All of that is around the thought leadership, long form content, adding my voice to the internet. But I really like doing interviews. I love talking to other people. I love getting their perspective. In the 10 years I've been doing this show, the Streamline Solopreneur show, I've learned a lot. It's had a positive impact on my business, and I think it's important to not just be in a silo or an echo chamber. So how do I square that circle? Well, the other thing I've been struggling with is live streams on YouTube. When I was a programmer and when I was heavily in the WordPress space, live streams were super easy for me. I would get on and start writing some code and showing people some stuff. When I wasn't coding, I was usually demoing some new software and showing people how it worked. But since moving away from the WordPress space to, let's say, a more 10,000-foot view of how I can help people, it's been hard. Building automations on live streams is not fun. There's a lot of silence, and silent live streams are just not my thing. I don't really think they're a lot of people's thing. And so I've been at a loss for how to consistently live stream in a way that makes sense for me. Well, you could probably see where the puck is going here if I'm going to add more sports analogies. I think I'm going to do interviews or, let's say, joint live streams with other people on YouTube where I can get questions ahead of time from my mailing list, but then people can show up in the chat and ask questions and we can react to them in real time. Or if I don't have a guest, then I can do a Q&A where I show something off, but mostly answer questions. And I can engage with my audience in a way that I really can't on my podcast. Platform control and creating walled gardens is not really one of my favorite things, but it does have some benefits. YouTube and Substack and Spotify are walled gardens in a sense. Yes, you can embed a YouTube video anywhere. YouTube has an API. It's a little less of a walled garden than, say, Substack, which is a completely walled garden. But having platform control in the way that YouTube does has benefits. Just like if you want to watch a football game live, you have to go to a stadium. And that's a totally different experience than watching it at home. Bringing people together on a single platform allows for more of the type of engagement I'm talking about. So I know that this was a little bit of a thought experiment. I'm thinking out loud, but this is what I'm going to run with. Podcasts are great for deepening relationships on a one-to-many level. People will listen to my show. They'll hear what I'm about. Most of what I'm talking about on my podcast is not time sensitive. And my podcast gives me the opportunity to create other forms of content. If people want to engage directly with me in real time, YouTube is the place for me to do that. And YouTube live streams are going to be a place for me to maybe talk about some news or current events or things that are happening, as well as bring on guests and create more of a communal experience. Now, where does that leave the Pete Davidson show? Where it's neither audio nor is there a way to engage? It's a television show. Simple as that. That's it for this episode of the Streamlined Podcaster. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. Do you have an idea for how you're going to treat your podcast and YouTube differently? Should they not be different? Are you someone who believes that it's only a podcast if it's on an iPod? Let me know over at streamlinedfeedback.com. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, I hope you find some space in your week.